ADP uses data-driven insights to design HR solutions to help businesses of all sizes think beyond today so they can find more success tomorrow. ADP, always designing for HR, talent, time, payroll, people.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, April 8th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. A WSJ scoop. Millions of Android devices ran software that, unbeknownst to their owners, collected data for a company with ties to U.S. national security contractors. Google has removed the apps running the code from its Play Store, but how did it get there in the first place? And what does this incident tell us about how secure our devices are? On today's show, our reporter Byron Tao joins us to discuss the details of how this happened and who's behind it. That's after these headlines. More news from the information war over the Ukraine crisis. Facebook parent Meta says it's removed about 200 accounts operated from Russia that were trying to influence the narrative of the country's invasion of Ukraine. It says the accounts were trying to silence others by getting posts removed or their accounts suspended from the platform by falsely reporting people for violations of hate speech, bullying, and more. Meta says the coordinated efforts increased just before Russia's invasion began in late February, and the efforts targeted users primarily in Ukraine, but also in Israel, the U.S., and Poland. Amazon plans to appeal the vote that would form the company's first U.S. union. Last week, around 55% of the workers from an Amazon warehouse in New York voted to join the Amazon Labor Union, a group set up by current and former employees of the e-commerce giant. In a legal filing yesterday, Amazon signaled it would appeal, citing actions taken by the union as well as the National Labor Relations Board before and during the election. A board spokeswoman said the agency acts independently to uphold labor law. A union representative called Amazon's decision a tactic to delay the vote's certification. A big crypto deal. We report exclusively that the payments company Bolt is acquiring the crypto startup Wire for about $1.5 billion. That's according to people familiar with the matter. The deal would be the largest merger in the crypto sector that doesn't involve a blank check company or SPAC, according to DealLogic. It also continues what's been a record pace for M&A activity in the U.S. crypto sector since last year. Samsung is projecting that high demand for semiconductors will be key to it generating record revenue in its first quarter. The South Korean tech giant also said it expects a 50% rise in quarterly operating profit over the prior year. Our Korea bureau chief Timothy Martin says the prolonged chip shortage is potentially good news for other electronics makers as well.
It's a bellwether for the overall tech industry because it supplies things like semiconductors and displays to rivals like Apple and Sony. We're yet to see the effects of inflation or economic uncertainties from Russia's invasion around Ukraine, but at least for the opening months of the year, consumers were buying. And this signals that the profitable run tech giants all around the world have seen is likely to extend.
Tesla opened the doors to its new Austin, Texas auto assembly plant yesterday, less than a month after inaugurating a similar gigafactory in Germany. The event, dubbed the Cyber Rodeo, is based on the name of Tesla's long-awaited Cybertruck, the electric pickup which the company said it plans to make in Texas. And some Texans can now get their ice cream, first aid kits, and pet prescriptions delivered by drone. Alphabet subsidiary Wing is partnering with Walgreens to deliver over 100 products via drone in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. The initiative is Wing's largest U.S. rollout, and it's the first one operated by a customer. Over time, Wing said it plans to have customers operate their own drone deliveries through its app. All right, coming up, surreptitious code hiding within consumer apps collected data from millions of devices. We'll discuss who is after that information after the break.
Business today looks nothing like it did yesterday. While it's more unpredictable, its possibilities are endless. Knowing how to turn unpredictability into an advantage is where ADP comes in. ADP uses data-driven insights to design HR solutions and help businesses of all sizes work better, smarter, so they can think beyond today and find even more success tomorrow. ADP. Always designing for HR, talent, time, payroll, people.
We report exclusively that Google has yanked dozens of apps from its Play Store after learning they included software that secretly harvests data from users. The apps included QR code readers, Muslim prayer apps, and a number of other popular consumer-facing apps. So, who was behind the code? How was it able to gather data on millions of users through seemingly benign apps? And what are the broader implications of this discovery? Joining us now is our reporter Byron Tao. Hi, Byron. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So can you start by telling us how this code was discovered?
Sure. So a group of two researchers, one of them is Serge Eggleman, who's at Berkeley. The other is Joel Reardon, who's at the University of Calgary. They're both academic researchers, and they've started a company that looks at the safety and privacy of mobile apps, discovered this code as part of the routine work they do looking at the behavior of apps, common apps in the Google Play Store. And they found there was a software code that was behaving very strangely, and they managed to trace it back to this Panamanian company called Measurement Systems.
All right, let's talk about Measurement Systems, the company that made the hidden software. What do we know about them and their motivations?
So we don't know a whole lot. It's a Panamanian company. It's about a decade old. And publicly, it's telling developers and it's advertising itself on its website as wanting to collect network data to try to understand network speeds. But through a maze of web registrations and corporate ownership records, it has these links back to a Virginia defense contractor called Packet Forensics. And a person familiar with the company acknowledged there was something of an indirect business relationship between Measurement Systems and Packet Forensics. Now, Measurement Systems said in an email they've never heard of this Virginia defense contractor or its parent companies, and they deny that they have anything to do with national security projects.
How did Measurement Systems get this code into the software in the first place?
So like many companies, Measurement Systems offers app makers some money in order to embed their software code inside of an app. That way, the app developer gets a little bit of money, and companies like Measurement Systems get back data about the users of the app. And this is a very common thing that happens with companies that do analytics or location tracking. This is a billion-dollar market, if not worth much, much more. So in this case, Measurement Systems was offering between $100 or even up to $10,000 a month, depending on how large an app's user base was, for data from users around the world, specifically in countries in Central Europe, the Middle East, and Asia, which is somewhat unusual because it's usually US and Western European data that commands the most money. And of course, these are also places where the U.S. has geopolitical interests or has counterterrorism concerns or has security concerns. All told, Measurement Systems software ran inside more than a dozen apps, and likely many, many more, including numerous Muslim-themed prayer apps, as well as things like a QR code reader or a highway speed trap detection app, according to the two researchers who uncovered the behavior of the software.
Do apps typically know what kind of data is being collected and how that's going to be used when they put these software development kits on? And what kind of data was collected in this particular case?
The danger of putting this kind of software in apps is that it doesn't always behave the way that the software development kit maker says it will behave. So in this case, Measurement Systems was telling people they were using it to measure network speed and get some data about users, but really it was doing some very invasive things according to interviews with the developer and according to the two researchers that uncovered this. It was doing things like collecting location even when the user had turned off that permission. It was doing things like mapping out all the other devices on a home network so it can show kind of the relationship between people and places and devices. And it was doing that in ways that the user didn't necessarily know or hadn't given permission for. In some cases, it was even kind of scanning the files on the phone itself, which is very unusual. So this software was behaving in very strange or in unusual ways for commercial software.
What did the apps think of the fact that they had this code in their software?
Well, some of the developers we talked to were under the impression that this was for financial services companies or energy companies or internet service providers. They had no idea that the software was behaving this way, and some of them expressed alarm about what it was actually doing. And when Google banned them, many of them removed it immediately so they can get back on the App Store.
And what about Google? Google has taken down these apps that had the code, but have they said anything about the incident or why they didn't stop it initially?
Well, this is a major challenge for tech companies like Apple and Google because they have hundreds of thousands, if not millions of apps in their app stores. And it's very difficult to understand all of the things those apps are doing. So for those companies, when third-party researchers come to them with research like this, they will often take action. But just given the sheer amount of apps in their app stores, it's a very difficult thing to monitor. Google says it takes action against any app that violates its terms of service around the collection of user data or around the behavior of software trying to bypass the kind of permissions Google sets up for its phones. And that's what they did in this case. They banned any app that had this measurement systems software kit in it until they removed it, and then they're eligible to be relisted back onto the Google Play Store.
We know this impacted millions of devices. Do we have a sense of how much data was collected and what might be done with it?
Well, we know that Packet Forensics is a known defense contractor. We know they do work on projects for the government, especially the Defense Department, law enforcement, and intelligence agencies. We know that this piece of software from Measurement Systems was collecting things like geolocation. It was looking at the other devices on a network, and it was even sometimes scanning the folders in a phone. And we also know that, in general, the government has been interested in buying data from consumer devices all around the world. The Wall Street Journal's done a lot of reporting on this, and we've uncovered that there's a huge market for trying to buy data from things like phones or connected cars, largely overseas, in order to try to understand things like the movement of populations or the behavior of specific individuals. A lot of this data is available commercially, and there's a huge market for this in both the commercial and the government space.
So now that these apps have been taken off of the Play Store, does that mean that this particular risk of this code collecting data on users is gone?
Well, this code is likely gone from the Play Store, but in general, the risks of third-party software inside apps is ongoing. We've seen lots of concern about Chinese data collection from apps by U.S. national security officials. We've seen lots of instances where U.S. government entities are buying or sourcing data from inside the app market. And so in general, this is going to continue to be something to monitor. This idea that governments are very interested in getting data from mobile phones in order to learn about people or populations. And I don't expect that that will stop anytime soon.
All right. That was our reporter, Byron Tao. Thanks for joining us, Byron.
Thanks for having me.
And that's it for Tech News Briefing this week. Our producer is Julie Chang. Our supervising producer is Chris Sinsley. We had editorial support this week from Scott Salloway. Our executive producer is Kateri Yoakum, and I'm your host, Zoe Thomas. Before we go, a final reminder that we want to hear your tech-related questions about the war in Ukraine. Do you want to know more about how tech companies are responding to the crisis, how cyber attacks are being used in the war, or maybe how social media is handling the flood of information from the war zone? Leave us a voicemail at 212-498-8852. We're planning on answering these questions in an upcoming episode. Once again, that number is 212-498-8852. We look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.